Good morning, and welcome to Circles of Prosperity with Dr. Reginald Johnson and Cynthia Johnson. I'm your host. And we are doing the book study of oneness. And we're in the end of chapter 6. So today we're going to continue to talking about the ascension process and really understanding the ascension process. And then we're going to talk about the F word. Whoa. And how that plays a part in the ascension process. So I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our opening prayer this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Father, and Father within, and Mother Goddess. We thank you for all the blessings we have. Strength, courage, patience, holiness, and sanctuary within. Everything we do, we give thanks for. And I'm really grateful for last night's meditation. A lot of things were greatly revealed to everybody who showed up. It was wonderful, a wonderful experience. Like shooting out of fingers and eyes, it was wild. I love the energy, and I thank you, God, for always demonstrating your power to us and as us. And those who are listening, I wish them all the best, that they can be through you as you see fit to work through them. Give them health, give them finances, give them blessings. Press down, shaking together, that they don't have room to receive it. I believe this. I believe it is so, and so it is.
I sent out an email last night that contains the links to the videos from Bruce Lipton. And it's called Where Mind and Matter Meet. There are 17 videos, and so it's probably about 2 hours worth. What I've asked you to do is over the weekend to watch the first 6 or 7, and we'll open those up for discussion. And then I'd like to get your input in terms of how much time you need to watch the remainder, because you really need to see the whole series. But we'll start with the first 6, which lays the foundation. And when he gets into the second half of the lecture, you can really begin to see how this cellular structure and your genes, how it interacts with our environment. So do the first 6 over the weekend, and then we'll touch bases and decide how we're going to watch the remainder and have them for discussion. But Monday's lesson will be on those first 6 videos. Okay. If you don't have internet access, let me know, and because I do want you to enjoy this. So I'll try to get the videos to you some other way. Okay. So yesterday we were really doing a close examination of the ascension process, and I mean, we've kind of talked about this process, but we really didn't refer to it as the ascension process. But we were talking about how we bring about certain experiences in our life because there are lessons there for us to learn. And we established that on a high level weeks ago through the wizard, Way of the Wizard, and through Circles of Charles Fillmore's book, Prosperity. We really talked about those experiences, and we understand that when we go through these life dramas, that everything is in divine order, that is our path to our divinity, which in this book they're calling that moving into that oneness is the same as your divinity. You are a divine being. And it's not something that you have to create. It's already within you, and you're moving into the awareness of it, the greater awareness of it. And this ascension process now makes you consciously aware of your divinity and how it functions. And the way you transcend the problems and the struggles that you have in your life is moving into your oneness. When you can look at your situation through the eyes of love, through your heart centeredness, then that helps you to elevate and transcend what's going on here. The big thing that we learned yesterday from this transcription is that the ascension process is not something that's going to take us out of our body. We are learning to embrace our divinity within this body, because the experiences within this body of our physical senses, our physical five senses, is an integral part of the whole you, of all of you. So we're not going to discard this experience. There's a lot that this experience in the physical world brings into your divinity. So we're not leaving our bodies to be divine or to ascend into oneness. And that I thought that was a huge point to clarify in our consciousness. So let's pick up where we left off. It says that eventually you're going to become detached from these scenarios that are in front of you. In other words, that you can't push, people can't push your buttons anymore, or whatever it is that you're having a repetitive scenario. When you resolve it, there becomes a detachment, and this detachment becomes the catalyst for totally different categories of experience to manifest for you. In other words, there's been a shift in your energy, and now you're going to attract new experiences to you that you will probably have to resolve. And I find that interesting, because you never stop learning. We never stop learning. So now they break it down to what's happening on a cellular level. The emotional charge carried at the cellular level within each of you will by then have been released on each of those life themes that will not be able to magnetize experiences of a corresponding vibration. And once you transcend the automatic response patterning, the reaction of ego-centered emotion, and replace it with an automatic response of indifference to outcome, you shift to a state of being in which you are able to manifest what you would like to experience in your life. So I'm rolling back a little bit, because I know we talked about this yesterday, but I'm rolling back to it to kind of bring it into your memory where we left off. So I think that's powerful. When we get to the point where we're not moved by this, our energy shifts and we become aware of our power. God has blessed us with so much power that we can create what we want at that point. As long as we're in these old patterns and we're not in alignment with God's energy, we're stuck. We're almost imprisoned. So we have to work through these issues to be able to set us free. And what does the Bible tell us? The truth will set you free. Or make you free. As your journey progresses, the role you are inclined to play becomes more the one of the observer than the object of your experience. And Merlin told us that, didn't he? He says we need to move and become the observer. That life just plays out. It's just a play, a drama playing in front of us. Your finest teachers are those beings who have played the role of nemesis throughout your life. The beings with whom you have had the most caustic and severe interactions are those who were painstakingly cast by you for that role. And you will begin to see in retrospect that most have played their part superbly. And you, in turn, have been an energetic catalyst for many beings with whom you have had conflict interactions. Your own self-righteous stance in these instances does not negate the effect of your own participation from the perspective of an adversary in a given drama. Dr. Reggie, you know, I'm always You always bring up the example of your instructor, your teachers. Your most memorable teachers are the ones that were really difficult. And some of you may remember, you know, the ones that gave you the hardest time, the ones that really demanded more of you, were the most difficult teachers that you had, but you learned the most and actually probably had a little bit more respect for them. They pushed you to strive a little harder. Ideally, as your process culminates with an overview, you are able to take responsibility for the parts played from all standpoints of an issue. For rarely does one experience a life theme from one vantage point. Chances are you will have played a life theme from both sides, often simultaneously. It can never appear amusing when you begin to recognize the pattern of the theme and see yourself as both the perpetrator and the object of the adversity. Some would have you believe that certain interactions and relationships between individuals are karmic. And to the extent that the energy charge built into certain issues does not dissipate when one departs one's physical body at the end of a lifetime, this explanation could be said to be true. But what is meant here by the term karmic? Karmic is that certain agreements are in place between individuals that transcend a given physical incarnation, and those agreements are in place to continue to work on that given theme in a subsequent lifetime. So one would continue to be drawn into dramas with beings who have played these roles for one another for eons, and will continue to do so until eventually they are able to transcend their need to do so. Wow. So, you know, you're focused on this lifetime, but you may be experiencing a karmic debt or a karmic agreement. I don't want to make it seem like it's a debt. Experience where you guys have a you have two souls or two or more souls that have agreed to come into this physical reality and still work through issues that they've been trying to deal with for eons. These are other lifetimes. Wow. You know, and I don't know if she's on the line. Melody, I'm going to put this out to you because I'm not sure, but I recall you talking about there are times when you feel this energy over you, and you know that it's not a part of you, and you feel that that energy is an oppressive energy. And what I'm sensing at this time, when I said this, you visually came up, and that topic came up, and I believe that this is the answer to what's going on. There is an energy cord between you and another entity that where you have to work through this karmic experience. So give me a call and we'll talk about it. But that's what I just received. So the fallacy inherent in the common usage of the term karmic is that there is a certain degree of inevitability built into the relationship, and with that, a degree of relinquishing of responsibility for one's own role in the interaction. So the blessed opportunity built into relationships that are said to be karmic and that are predominantly adversarial is that each person who is cast in lifetime after lifetime of the same old story is a seasoned actor who knows the role and knows the lines by heart. And the gift in such a relationship is to recognize the godliness in the adversarial role, to recognize the godliness in one's own reaction of diminished vibration, and to allow the love that truly exists at the higher level between these individuals to surface and to grow. For each one has been cast in the given role by choice, and each has the opportunity to transcend the drama and learn the lesson by choice. Isn't that beautiful? Here it is. We've got all this conflict. It appears to be conflict going on, right? Very tense relationship. And it's all about healing. And if we just switch to the energy of love, it resolves it. And the sooner we do it, the better. What is being presented then is a chance to forfeit being right. I want you to breathe on that one. What is being presented is the chance to forfeit being right on a given issue in favor of recognizing circumstances as the non-issue that they truly are, when beings are aligned in oneness. You know, the Course in Miracles says, it doesn't make, if your brother asks you to do the most ridiculous thing, it really doesn't matter. Just do it. Why argue with them? There's no value in it. And really what he was trying to say, or what he was saying is, there's no need to be right. When you relinquish the ego, when you move in alignment with the Christ consciousness, which equals and means oneness, which equals and means your divinity, there's no need to be right. Dr. Reggie says, God needs no defense. And you are God's, right? The Bible does tell us that we are God. There's no need to be right. That's a big lesson for us. Because what's happening when you're trying to be right, when you want to be right, and you're continuing to argue your point, that's ego trying to buy into the drama, trying to convince others to participate in your drama. There's no need when you're in full alignment. So, the karmic adversary becomes the catalyst for change when there is non-attachment to outcome on the parts of all concerned, and one is able to choose either to engage or simply to carry on peacefully on one's own path, and one is able to recognize the completion of certain life theme interactions with key individuals when one can, and in all honesty with oneself, recognize a heartfelt wish of well-being for the individual who played perhaps the most injurious role in one's lifetime. And this sentiment goes beyond the traditional concept of the F word, which is what? Forgiveness. So now let's talk about forgiveness here. Generally, as commonly understood and applied, forgiveness is a gesture in which a being consciously releases future tethering to an issue by giving lip service to releasing blame for a past action. And while in theory this effort appears to be well-directed, in application this is a self-righteous practice that rarely produces the desired result. For the key issue, one's own stance on the issue in question would not have been released in the process. So thus, the negative energy charge would have been retained at the cellular level and is magnetizing to the individual a continuing barrage of experiences on the same thing, forgiveness or not. So what are they going? What are they saying here? He says, let's go back and go through it. Forgiveness is a gesture in which a being consciously releases future tethering to an issue by giving lip service to releasing blame for a past action. Oh, in other words, all you're saying is, I forgive you. Oh, that's okay. I forgive you. But somewhere deep down inside, you have buried the pain from it, from the experience. You haven't really totally forgiven. If you continue to bring up the story, and repeat it, even if it's just in your thoughts, if you think about it, you have not released it. You have not forgiven. And so you're going to continue to, it's that energy is still in this on the cellular level, and you're going to continue to have experiences that repeat that theme because you have not totally forgiven. So the key to completing these patterns is not to forgive the other party for their transgression. Okay, listen to this. The key to completing these patterns is not to forgive the other party their transgression, which keeps the energy polarized, but rather to release in total detachment any care one may still be carrying whatsoever about the outcome of any drama revolving around that issue. The gesture then becomes not one of forgiveness, which revolves around issues of blame or non-blame for a perceived wrongdoing, but rather one of total transcendence of one's attachment to the outcome, totally releasing it, totally releasing it. And what, you know, I have sent this to you guys before, forgiveness is all about you. They're wording it differently, but this was the revelation that God gave me, that forgiveness was about you. It's about you. You releasing. But the way we handle forgiveness is, okay, I don't blame you. Or it is your fault, but it's okay. I dismiss it. You're not solving the problem at that point. Because forgiveness is about you total, you forgiving yourself for even jumping into the drama. Oh my goodness, I had no business. I was not in my right mind. I was not aligned with my oneness. I forgive me for, I moved to this. I'm looking at this situation. I see what it is. I'm taking a deep breath on it. And I release this in love. It's for your healing. It's for your healing. In this rarefied state, one is able to regard with a full and loving heart an individual playing his role dutifully and to move forward unaffected one way or the other. In this way, there is no possible reinforcement of the vibrational charge surrounding the issue in question, and less likelihood that one will continue to witness repeat performances of that particular scene. When there is total forgiveness, you move on. You don't have any need to come back. You're done. The experience will not come back to make sure you get it. No, total forgiveness releases you. X's it out, you get to collect $200 as you pass go. The transcendent being does not arrive at a place of the sublime indifference overnight. It takes a bit of practice. But as you begin to recognize the patterns in your day-to-day interactions with people, there will appear to be less and less conflict and more harmony. And in these times of acceleration of all experience, you can anticipate reaching closure on many of your dominant life themes in the time soon to come. And you can anticipate the dawning of another octave of experience that gradually takes precedence and becomes the dominant next phase in an ongoing journey toward recognition of your oneness with all creation. So you've had a little struggle, it's been a little difficult, you work through the issues and you say, okay, I forgive, I let go, I release, I'm in my oneness, and then bam, you're at the next level and it starts, new stuff starts. Isn't that exciting? But now you're equipped. You are equipped. And so you just practice moving through it, moving through it, moving through it, till you become a master like Jesus. All righty. I'm going to open the floor now for questions, comments. I've had some people to come in on chat. When you guys hear me pausing, sometimes I'm looking to see what's happening on our chat line over here. They're logging in and logging out. So if you're on chat, go ahead and drop us a question at this point. If you have a question and you're listening online, please press 1. If you're listening over the internet, our call-in number is 914-338-0590, and just press 1, and we'll be happy to hear your questions or comments this morning. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. Okay. Good morning. 0047, you're on the air.
Good morning. It's Nania, as usual.
Hi, Miss Nania.
Yes, good. Thank you so much for this. And let me just share, please. Sometimes when our victim story has carried so much emotion, so much trauma, drama, pain, we need tools to and assistance at releasing. You know, people used to tell me, oh, that happened in 1937, let it go, release it. But it's not always that easy. Some things hurt so much that talking and affirmations and prayers can't reach the cellular level. So, and that is the work of radical forgiveness. We have the tools. You know, I wanted to be done with the rape. I wanted to be done with the domestic violence, the shooting and all that, but every time it came up, it was like PTSD to a soldier. And so I had to have, and so I was just grateful to run into the radical forgiveness tools that help you to go into the deep, deep levels, bring the pain up again, and then release it in a way that it doesn't come back. So I just put that out there for people who've been trying but didn't know how to let it go. The radical forgiveness does offer that assistance and tools. Another thing, with you mentioned Melody and the energy or an oppressive energy over her, I understand now why I had to go through all I did, so I would understand what people are talking about. Sometimes that kind of oppressive energy of something following you is an entity attachment. My hypnotherapist calls it, the church calls it demon possession, where there are actually people who leave their bodies reluctantly, do not want to leave the earth plane, and they still are earthbound spirits. They can attach to your energy field, to your physical, to your aura, and cause you great grief because they don't know they're dead, so to speak. I hope this isn't frightening, but it's the fact I had this experience and had to get a hypnotherapist to remove these entities, and there were many, many, many attached to me that manifested as what they call schizophrenia, I think, in the mental health field, or voices in my head chattering. I could not stop them. They were trying to get me to kill myself. I don't know if anybody's ever been this deep, but this seemed to be the time to mention this, that I also have the recommendation that you may have to have them removed. There's a book on this. It's out of print, but you can find it with rare book sites called 30 Years Among the Dead. A psychiatrist who did study of how he interceded to get these spirits to recognize that they're causing you harm. It may be a loved one, but they cause you great harm if they're attached to you. And it manifests with the straitjackets in the mental hospitals for those who have this. Or if you know someone, we have answers now how to be healed at the deepest level. Thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you. I want to get Dr. Reggie to deal with this because he to address the issue of the entities. Hold on one second, Dr. Reggie. Because he deals with that quite a bit, and the energy cords as well. He deals with.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So there's something very powerful. I love what Nani y'all said. It's not to frighten you. It's not to get y'all upset or freaked out. But there are people who are famous people, like Edith Fiore, Jeffrey Mishlove. These people deal specifically with removing entities in your life. They're both hypnotherapists and well-known. And there was a case in mystery school we studied where this woman and this man were married, and they made a vow to be married forever. And vows are taken seriously in spirit. Every time she was in hypnosis, this man had incarnated with her over 500 times. Even as a man to a man, she changed from a woman to a man in the body she chose. And kept chasing this man for centuries, but not even said for eons. And it's really amazing how it happens. One day she went to Jeffrey Mishlove and Edith Fiore. They finally released the energy cords that bound these people together and unbounded the energy as a soul fragment. And if they unbound the energy, these things are very real. You are very real as a soul. And you release a soul fragment, attachments to you. I've done that for several people over the years. And sometimes it's really hard. Some of them come disguised as angels, and they're not. They're people who know you so well, they can emulate the existence of another person to make you think that's your aunt or your mom or whoever. We call them demons, some people in church, but it's really a part of the egoic expression latched on to the karmic entity. That's what I know that's true. And it's very true.
Oh, so, Dr. Reggie, the reason I brought this up, I don't know why I brought it up. I just had that image of Melody and that conversation as we were going through the process. But we have been talking about the energy vibrations on a cellular level. And even though these entities may not be in physical form, we may still have an energy cord with them from a past life experience, okay, that we still need to work out whatever that issue is.
Or some object, they can't let it go. And it forms the energy cord longer and broader every time. If you don't release it, you don't receive the release. And that's a thing that's very true. You have to let it go. And it's not easy always, but you know what? Whatever it takes to let it go, you do. In your soul, in your sanctuary, say, okay, I'm releasing this in love. And honestly release it and want to have the desire to release it. And you're letting it go. I've dealt with people who are nuns and everything with this energy. As you know, even ministers who have popular ministries and had to let it go. And they cried in front of me and everything. So it's really kind of crazy. When they did let it go, it was over. Thank God.
Okay, let me move on.
Yes. So it's self-responsibility.
2092, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Melody, we're just talking about you all on the air.
That's quite all right. I joined late, so I missed what you said in the beginning. However, I just wanted to make a comment about forgiveness work. One of the things, there are loved ones in my life that I have, worked very hard to forgive for the greater part of my adult life. And I remember hearing when I went through the radical forgiveness process that you cannot think your way through forgiveness. It is not a mental exercise. And, you know, I just learned that about, you know, a little over a year ago, and that real forgiveness requires a shift in energy.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't until I went through that process and really experienced that shift and physically felt some of those energies being released that I got it. And it does make all the difference in the world. So thank you for addressing forgiveness, because I think it's a necessary work for everyone.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, Dr. Reggie will say to me, Cynthia, he says, "How, you know, I say whatever is on my mind, and then I'm done with it. I can get up right at that point, and we can go party or have fun or play, make jokes." He goes, "How do you do that? How do you just release it?" I said, "I'm done with it. I totally release it, and I move on." I think I learned very early on that it took too much work for me to hold on to the anger. If that makes sense, you know, it's like I had to constantly think about it and think about that I was mad with you and hold on to all of that. And it was like, oh, no, I got too much to do. I can't focus on that and everything else. I guess I don't multitask very well, huh? But I could not hold on to the anger and the resentment. I just totally let it go. And truly, if I say a harsh word, or if I say, and I don't really consider it, I say whatever I have to say, and then I'm done with it. Still love you. I release it and I let go. But I guess a lot of people have a problem with that, and so on some level I have a hard time relating to it. But that's what we have to do. We have to release and let go. That's true forgiveness. 0411, you're on the air.
Greetings, everyone.
Anthony.
Greetings, greetings.
Greetings.
There is a lot of power on this call.
Amen.
Have anyone considered that, how much power is on this call?
It's a lot.
How much dynamic and variety of energy here. And when you speak of energy, you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the universe has been showing me about how energy works for a long time. And I happen to work in the electrical field.
Oh!
As an electrician. So I learned early the physiology of electrical work and how currency runs. And everything that's been said has been correct. Everything is right on target. The thing that came to mind is, how can we congruently make it work together? Because we all are right. We all are there. Because there's so many dynamics when it comes to energy. Because there's so many dynamics in love. Isn't it that everyone can be in any walk of life and still find love?
Oh, yeah.
And one might ask, how is that possible? Because love is love. It's everywhere. It's in our breath. The breath connects everything and everyone. The question is, how can we congruently make that all work? Because what Nania says, what Dr. Reggie, and I'm looking forward to meeting you, Dr. Reggie. I'm looking forward to meeting your spirit in the physical realm. I'm looking forward to it because the energies are there. Because in all of this forgiveness, I was talking to Melody, and we're always talking about this energy. Well, you know, they always talk about this energy, and I understand it, and I'm becoming more prevalent to it and how it moves. And it's interesting because I mentioned that the sessions in which you all were supposed to meet, I actually said, that's interesting that happened, because I mentioned to her, I said, y'all need to sheet that or pray about it. Because it has happened in the past. And sure enough, she called me back and said something took place. The meeting between y'all couldn't took place. Because I understand how energy moves. And then when I saw it, I said, there's a dynamic of energy there. But I say that to say this, that it also, there are things that Sister Nania said to bring it up. I've worked in the field of bringing up energies. Because when the scripture says in Malachi 4, 5, and 6, I would send Elijah their prophet, and he said, turn the hearts of the fathers toward their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. And if this does not take place, I will send a curse in the land. What is that saying? Is that we need to come and bridge that gap that has come between us in terms of who we are, what tree we came fell off of, you know, the apple falling off the tree, and bridge that gap of forgiveness, because all of us have experience in our childhood through our parents or whoever loved one it is, and we have not got to that point. We got to embrace it. How do we embrace it? Well, there's a thing called role being where it brings it out, and I've done the work. I even done it recently. The work is powerful in bringing it up, because sometimes you have to write it down or you have to say it and speak it to bring that energy up. And then you get a chance to release it, and you can see the power of it. So that's all I'm going to say, but thank you so much for it. These calls, I would suggest that you leave it on there, because some of us will be going back and listening to them over and over, because some things, too, Dr. Reggie says, now repetition makes perfection, and it will take that source to get to that point of higher vibration. And thank you so much. I love all of you.
Oh, thank you. Wow. Anthony, that was powerful. That was absolutely powerful. You know, the thing that I think is, Nadia says this over and over again, that radical forgiveness is it's a tool. Some people need to go, you know, need to have that process. They need to go through that process of writing it down. Even Anthony mentions it and looking at it. You know, you can. And it works for quite a few people. So I but the whole process of radical forgiveness is about the energy shift. That's how it's connected. There are many paths. There's one destination, but there are many paths to get there. There are many different routes, but there's one destination. What I'm teaching, I try to teach it broad enough that you understand that you're on a journey. What path you take, and I try to present different materials to you so that you know that there are multiple paths that you can take to get to this one point. But the end of your journey, your destination, is to become aware that the divinity is within you, that God has given you such a powerful gift. And you just need to become aware of it and know how to work in it. He did not put us on this planet where our needs are not met. I started Circles of Prosperity because so many people were trying to figure out how to get more money. But really, the answer is not about the money. The wealth, the kingdom, is within you. And once you find the kingdom, all of these things will be given to you. You won't even have to struggle for them. Isn't that what Jesus said? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be given to you. I may be quoting the scripture wrong. I always get it wrong. I know there's somebody on the line saying, God, this girl never gets the scripture right. But you get the gist of the point. I'm going to ask Dr. Reggie to take us into our closing prayer. And then Monday, don't forget to go watch the videos of Bruce Lipton's Where Mind and Matter Meet. There are 17 videos. If you are on chat and following us on the internet, you didn't get the email. If you go to YouTube and Google Bruce Lipton, Where Mind and Matter Meet, watch those videos, and we'll have the discussion on Monday morning. Dr. Reggie, will you take us into our closing prayer?
Thank you, God, for Melody, Nania, and Anthony, for participating vocally in this experience, recognizing your power and how your power travels with light technology in this world. beyond the technology in every stratosphere of existence. We thank you for everyone, that everybody participates vocally and energetically on the line. And I'm so grateful for all of them. They are precious souls. Bless them, nurture them, and lift them up in every situation, emotionally, financially, romantically, whatever is necessary. Heal their bodies in health, energetically, and physically in form. They are here to heal others and to lift up other people. Thank you for them and for their knowledge and for their power. And give them more power and love in everything that they do. We believe it is so, and so it is.